Do you or someone you love wish you had a better job? Want to be happier on your current job? Don't even have a job? Welcome to Work with Marty Nemko.
Imagine you're in the middle. You're a middle income person in midlife with a middle sort of job, kind of so-so job. You got middle class expenses. You got a significant other spouse. You got a kid or two. You have significant rent or mortgage. You're in the middle. And you're feeling in the middle about your job, about your career. Most times, you push back thoughts of chucking it all because it's so risky. In midlife, you've already put in a bunch of years, perhaps in one or two areas of expertise. You chuck it all, you got to start at the bottom, which usually means at the bottom of financial remuneration, bottom of responsibility, bottom of learning. Can you learn as quickly and as well in midlife as you did when you were 18 or 20? Would you be that much happier anyway? So you push back those thoughts and you say, what the hell? But is that a golden handcuffs of retroactivity or is it wise? It's never black or white. When should a person in the middle chuck it all? Either permanently to start with something new or a sabbatical, merely to quit and open the door for new opportunities to emerge or to find them. Because most people, when they work full time, they come home tired, they want to veg. There isn't a lot of emotional or temporal space to explore something new. So they figured, my only option is to quit. Do I do it? Well, as with so many of these issues in life, there are both sides. And so one of the things we like to do on this show is what I call a switch sides in the middle debate, in which I take one side of the argument, that is, yeah, it's worth quitting in that situation. And then my debate opponent takes the other side and says, nah, it's not a good idea. And as regular listeners to Work with Marty Nemko know, my favorite compatriot, protagonist, antagonist, thorn in my side, opponent in these switch sides debates is my wife, Dr. Barbara Nemko, Napa County Superintendent of Schools. She's now won enough awards that it's not worth taking the time to go to talk about them. So I'll simply say, Barbara, thank you very much for being my co-conspirator here.
My pleasure. Good morning.
So the way these things work is, because I've now been talking for a couple of minutes, I will have Barbara start the debate by taking the yes side, that a person in this situation, the middle person in the middle situation with middle expenses, middle responsibilities, should indeed, all things being equal, chuck it all at midlife, 40, 45, whatever, to try something new. And then I will take the no side, and then we'll switch, and I'll take the yes side, and Barbara will close with the no side. So Barbara, hold forth. Why should somebody in midlife, in that middle situation, say, what the hell, chuck it all, it's time to try something new and not be shackled by the golden handcuffs?
As we know, life is short. All of us see friends, colleagues, acquaintances getting sick when they didn't expect it. There is no guarantee of how long any of us are going to be around. And if you're getting up every day and you're dreading going to that job, and you see your work life with another 25 years stretching ahead of you, and you think, my God, I cannot imagine every day of my life getting up and doing this awful job, and I don't see anything within the job that I'm doing getting any better, you have to be true to yourself and find something that won't cause you grief every day. It's not healthy to be unhappy all the time.
Remember, Barbara, we're talking about the middle. He's not unhappy. It's an okay job. You're not. This is not like you're working in a carcinogenic clanging factory.
I'm looking for the only way I can be positive.
No straw man.
I want to give you a whole list of things that I would tell a person to consider. I'm just going for the.
But on the model, don't take a straw man.
Life has to be happy.
Yeah, but no straw man. We're talking about a person who's got a, you know, we'll just take something specific. He or she is a middle manager in a middle-sized organization with a middle-average boss. It's not exciting. It's a widget company or a nonprofit that they're not sure is making that much difference, but it's in the middle. So try to make the arguments for switching, even if it's in that middle.
If it's
middle.
In the middle,
yes.
Then obviously you don't quit tomorrow morning. The first thing you have to ask yourself, is there something I really think that I would like to do, that I think I would be good at, that I think has a reasonable chance of being successful? And then you do what we tell high school and college kids to do. You talk to people. You job shadow. Maybe even do some kind of a two-week internship. Take a vacation for 2 weeks from your job and see what it's like to work in this job, in this field, in this company, and see if it really is better, because sometimes the grass looks greener in everybody else's yard. So figure out, am I going to something? It's a little bit like retirement. You don't just retire and then wake up the next morning and say, now what do I do? But you plan in advance for leaving the job, and you figure out, where am I going and what am I going to be doing?
You know, listening to you, you're taking kind of the no side. I'm trying not to.
It's
good.
Hard.
All right. I'm going to change the game here a little bit.
Okay.
I'm going to take the position that you should quit, because it's real easy to say go do informational interviews, do research, do whatever. But as I said in the intro, most people are too tired emotionally or just don't have the time, and they have other competing things to go and do all of that stuff while they're working. So I am going to now take the position of quitting, and you then take the position of why you shouldn't. Okay, and
okay.
Then we'll switch. Okay, so if you're really at that stage where even it's feeling okay but humdrum, you're entitled to more than a humdrum existence. And if you, like most people, realize that you just are not going to have the time to expose yourself to the full range of options that might be out there, you don't know what the hell you really would like to do. You don't have the time to investigate many of those things. The wisest thing to do is, okay, quit. Take a sabbatical. You can always, worst come to worst, a year later, you do all this exploration, you get nowhere, then you can say, okay, damn it, I've at least given it a shot. I'm going to go back to my job. I'm sure that so many employers will recognize that many people are not thrilled as a middle manager in a middle widget company or a middle nonprofit company or a nonprofit firm or a government agency. You can get back. It's not a one-way street. It's not the Roach Motel. You can check in, but you can't check out. And who knows? You may be better off. You may find something better, and you can't lose. You can't, as I said, if you find something better, great. If not, you have felt you have done your homage to yourself that you at least went for going for more than humdrum. And what a great role model! As we talked about, this is a person in midlife who's got children and a spouse and others. What a great role model! How inspiring to friends, to family, to children, that you did not settle for average, for humdrum, and that you indeed quit so that you could find something that's better than humdrum, because there ain't no heaven, there ain't no hell, this is the world, and you've got to make it now. That's my shot. Now you want to argue against that and say why somebody should not quit?
Do I ever.
Good.
Here is a person who has responsibilities. You have a wife and children. And presumably you are earning it 50% of the income of the family, maybe more. And it's real easy to say, oh, if it doesn't work out, I can come back. You know what? Life is tough. You may not be able to come back. There are so many people who have lost their jobs, are downsized, the work has been outsourced, and they're all looking for positions. So you give up this nice position that you've been in for a number of years, maybe 15 or 20 years, and have gotten some promotions and advanced in what you're doing, and then you try to come back, they filled your job. They had a year to fill it, and they have somebody who is probably younger than you are, is earning less than you are, has better technical skills than you ever had, and they're very happy. They're not giving you you back that job. So now you are a 41-year-old person, and you've been unemployed for a year with not a whole lot to show for it, other than you discovered that the world is not your oyster, and there isn't this perfect job out there that's creative and fun and pays the money that you want. Your wife is probably not happy with you, and who knows what things you've had to deprive the family of because you weren't bringing in any money for a year. Grow up.
Okay. First thing, I just want to push back one little bit on that, and then I'm going to take the other side. I'm going to move to the side that, you know, where I agree with you that you shouldn't do it. But I don't believe that taking a year off is a one-way street. I really think that, as I said earlier, I think that it's you're operating from too much fear. Certainly, if a person took 5 years off, it's one thing. But if a person took a year to explore a bunch of things and then told his or her honest truth about what happened, that they were doing a good job for 10 or 15 years and were wondering if that is all there is. So they took a year to explore other things, and they went to Tahiti, or they went to Nepal to find the guru, or they explored musical careers, or they explored a nonprofit work or whatever, and then decided in the end, no, they really were in the right place, and that they are now rejuvenated and ready to resume work. I think that the right employer, not some automaton, authoritarian person who wants a work machine. No, that person is not going to hire that person after a year off. But a person who's a human being, a boss who is at all any sense of reality about what human beings are, would, in fact, maybe even hire that person over the worker bee who worked nonstop. So now I want to take the downside. I want to switch sides in the middle, as we do.
Can I push back on that?
Yes, please do. Yes.
That's very nice, but in the absence of this employee for a year, we've had to hire someone to do that job. That person has given us a year, and that person could possibly be as good or better,
sure,
and at a lower salary. So are we necessarily going to fire that person? Probably not.
Right.
In fact, that person may have worked, depending on what the position is, may now be a permanent employee. They've passed their 6 months probation. So I can't even get rid of that person to bring this other person back.
Oh, no, I'm not saying at all that you would not go back to the same employer. The same employer would never hire you back. I agree. But there are other employers. You are not chained to that one employer.
Well, there may be other employers, but as you know, there are an awful lot of people who are now making less than they used to make before the recession. There are an awful lot of jobs that are leaving, so it's a pretty risky thing to do.
Okay, so now I'm going to take the downside and say why you shouldn't do it, and then you will conclude our switch sides debate by saying why you should. Okay, so, you know, it is too romantic to think that the career that you chose many years ago or fell into and then developed over many years is really going to be that much worse than some new thing that you might find at age 40. You're going to take some huge risk of dumping it all and, yes, incurring some additional risk that you're not going to get rehired again in the favor of some long shot. People have explored and explored and explored for a year or two, and rarely do they, in their midlife crisis, accomplish more than buying a red Corvette. They end up exploring these things, but end up either not finding something that excites them more, or they find something that excites them more, but they've got to start at the bottom and take a massive pay cut, or they've got to be a worker bee at the bottom and take orders from somebody much much younger than them and feel less sophisticated than them, and then they end up finding. They bring whatever their issues were in their old career to their current one. If they're high maintenance and a complainer and always looking at the negative, they're probably going to find it in the new career in the same way as the old career. So, sure, if you're miserable in the old career, and we stipulated up front this is not that situation, it is the person who's in the middle. But if you are miserable, sure, it's time to explore another career. But if you are in that middle, it is not random that you stayed in that one career for 5 or 10 or 15 years. There are things that are a good fit, and you've learned a lot. You are taking too big a risk relative to the likely increase of happiness by chucking it all, and not to mention that it's irresponsible to your family. Let's say you did marry, and of course we're talking straight or gay. You married, and let's say the premarital agreement or the early marriage agreement was the assumption that you were going to bring home X amount of the bacon, whether it be 50 or 70 or most of it. All of a sudden, at 10 or 15 years later, to suddenly choose, oh, I think I'm going to go and quit and take a certainly assumed additional risk of starting at the bottom and making less money is kind of a bait and switch. Don't you? Isn't we take those marriage vows? The wedding ring is round because it's circle. It's forever. We make a commitment before God and the state and our family and friends that we're going to do it forever. Of course, 58% of people divorce, but we make this commitment. Isn't it not a violation of the commitment to suddenly go and, you know, to try to do what I call the grown-up summer camp? Most people want to quit their middle job because they think of something that they would like to do that is like a summer camp. Arts, creativity, music, acting, whatever. Is that responsible? It's very irresponsible. And again, the probability is that it's not going to work anyway because most people aren't that much happier in the new career than they were in the old. So that's my best shot at taking the argument for no, why you shouldn't chuck it all if you're in that middle career in midlife or whatever. And Barbara, now you conclude by making the argument for why you should.
They say if you love what you do, you'll never work a day in your life. And that's true. If you don't love what you do, then you're not living life to its fullest, and you only get one shot at it. This is not a dress rehearsal. So you need to find something that makes you feel fulfilled and happy. It is work. It's still work. Every moment of every day is not going to be perfect. But if you feel that you're making a contribution and you feel that inner reward, you're going to be a happier person, you'll be a better husband, you'll be a better father. And let's remember that those marriage vows said for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health. So it's time to have a family conversation and say, for me, this is something that I need to do. And let's see what kind of adjustments we can make as a family, because we will all be happier if I am happier. It's kind of the inner workings of the relationship of a unit. How one feels affects how everybody feels. And I want you, as my children, to understand that you also at some point will have to make these choices, and I want you to make choices that will nourish you, that will make you feel good about what you're doing and about your life. So let's all look at this as the year of exploration and see, you can also explore with me. Think about what you want to do and how do we explore these things and what makes the career the right career for someone.
Terrific. Okay, so I think we've done a good job now of exploring both sides of the issue. Should you chuck it if you've got a middle career and in the middle of life? From a kind of understanding of knowledge point of view, I believe that debate is one of two very valuable ways to get at what is truth, but we've done that. But there's also the fact that there's another way, which is simply a logical argument. We're not trying to take a side. So before we go to the phones, and dear listeners, by the way, we're going to go to the phones in a moment, in about a minute or two, and invite you to weigh in on which side you think wins, or you can amplify or disagree. But in addition to the kind of the argument point of view, which is the basis of our system of jurisprudence, there's also, a la philosophy talk, there is the more rhetorical, logical, analytical side, where you're not necessarily taking one side. So I'd like us each, and I'm going to go first, then you can go second. I'm going to go and make an argument that if I didn't have to take sides, what seems most just in light of our debate? So, again, to recast the discussion, if the person we're talking about is a person in midlife who's got a kind of a middle career for a nonprofit, doesn't hate it, doesn't love it, but feels, is wondering, is that all there is? And here is what I would do if I was not having to advocate for one side or the other. I do think it is, while of course most people come home tired from work and without a lot of bandwidth at nights and weekends to do other exploration, but given the risks of quitting or the risk of simply accepting the status quo, I would go for a middle ground. I would say, look, even as tired as you are, you know, you find some time to chat with friends, to watch TV, to play to play Super Mario with your kid. Take some of that time. It doesn't have to be a rush. This is not high priority. Give yourself, love yourself enough to take an hour or three a week to do some Googling about different career options, to journal, to fantasize, to talk with friends, to just glance through the New York Times or the Atlantic or whatever you read, or the Wall Street Journal or Reason Magazine, to see what's out there in the world in a low-key, easy way. then maybe email somebody who wrote an article that appealed to you. Or go, maybe there's a local conference, some expo in some area. So everybody seems in the Bay Area is an environmentalist. There's a million environmental conferences. Go to one. Wander the exhibit areas. Even if you don't even go, look at the program. Look at who the speakers are. Do some low-key, low-risk kind of ways of exploring the world. And then you may be in a better position to assess, should you quit? Should you do it as a sideline? Should you do it as a hobby? And then, Barbara, I loved your idea of making it a family discussion. What could be better than instead of, as so many parents portray, this perfect person who's got everything, who's just not a perfect person. Most kids don't even think of their parents as people. But if you say, I'm having questions about my life, about what I should be doing. Here are my doubts. Here are my thoughts. What do you think? I want each of you, my dear wife, my dear children, whatever, my husband, to also not just automatically do what is expected. The life examined is the one worth living. And so let us all talk about the choices we have and what are good risk-reward-controlled, some cost-effective, time-effective, not too risky ways of exploring the full range of options. So that's the position I would take if I were not trying to be an advocate, but trying to just give my best advice, what I think is more moderate. Barbara Nemco, you're not being an advocate, what is your God? What would the goddess within you say is the wise thing to say to some person who's middle income, got a middle job, doesn't love it, doesn't hate it, but has got some questions in his or her mind? Is that all there is?
I think you start by thinking about what jobs really appeal to you. We all know lots of people who do different jobs. We watch television. We are exposed to different jobs. There are websites galore that people can go on that will give them a lot of really good detail about a variety of jobs. So I would start by just doing the research at home. You can sit in front of your computer at night. Doesn't have to take a very long time. Some of these career sites are very interesting to take a look at, and that will give you an idea about what general area you want to go into. Hopefully you have some thought what particularly appeals to you. What kind of area? Are you interested in the education area, the entertainment area? Do you want to work outdoors? So start to figure out what some of the variables are that are important to you, and then what kind of jobs are available within them. Then look at what kind of background you need to have. Do you even have the education or the particular talent for the job that you think is particularly appealing? And then you can spend some time. That's where I would take the two-week vacation and spend some time visiting different job sites, job shadowing, talking to people, and really getting a good idea about what you want. Your job is still waiting there back for you at the end of your two-week vacation, so you're not risking anything at this moment, but you are giving yourself that opportunity to do something really different.
Great. There's just one more thing I want to add before we go to the phones. Something that I have learned over the years, and it's so antithetical to conventional wisdom and what all career counselors, it's so ironic for me as a career counselor to say this, I truly have become convinced that choosing the career is not really that important. Most people end up there's any of hundreds of careers they could be well suited to. I mean, I'm not saying if you're an engineering type, you're going to have a word-centric career, but within very broad rubrics, like I'm a word person, and so my careers have to be word-centric, but it doesn't have to be career counselor or radio host or writer. It could be any of those. And so once we're in the area of just a broad rubric that kind of accentuates what your natural ability is. And also, our politics, I believe, are pretty hardwired. If you're a lefty, you're not going to work for a go-go corporation. And if you're more conservative, you're not going to be happy working for a left-wing nonprofit. But within those very broad rubrics, what really makes people happy is becoming expert at something. Finding a particular boss who is, forgive this technical term, mensch, a person of substance, a person who has the wisdom to know how hard to push, to be a good mentor, who's ethical, who will make sure the person is paid reasonably well with reasonable benefits. That is what ends up being more critical. And that can't be defined by a career choice a priori. That comes as a result of doing a thorough job search, thorough enough so that you get multiple job offers, thorough enough that you find out which places of employment tend to treat workers well, and then, or start your own business. But it is those things that matter, not the particular career, because we've seen so many people who are happy in what is ostensibly a boring job working for, you know, utility and customer service, and plenty of miserable people in an ostensibly cool job like an actor. And so focus more on finding the right employer and becoming expert yourself. And as corny as this sounds, viewing your life and the world and the glass is half full. We can find plenty to complain about in everything. Indeed, we are all on a slow conveyor belt to death. We could focus, if we focus on our death or our dying or the misery of capitalism or the misery of redistribution to the poor, whichever way, we can find plenty to complain about. But ultimately, that probably, unless you're really in a position to make a difference and change, you're probably wiser to try to look for generally the part of the glass that's half full, making changes where you can, but recognizing where the complaining is not worth it. That's my any. I want to give you the last word on this. Any comments we want to make regarding to, on that before I go to the, we go to the phones?
Nope. I think that's well said.
Okay. So, my dear listeners, we've hopefully provided reasonable fodder for a discussion. We're talking about, you're listening to Work with Marty Nemco and Barbara Nemco, the topic which we have been debating and also discussing outside of the world of debate, but just kind of discourse, is the prototypical existential question. Most people's lives are in the middle. Middle in the job satisfaction, middle in the, somewhere in the broad middle of income, and they, almost everybody, raises the question, is that all there is? And how much should we risk? How should we chuck it? Should we try some things on the side? Should we do it as a hobby? So we've laid all that out, and I'm curious about what you, my dear listeners, have to say. You can agree, you can disagree, and best of all is amplify. You know, we've only covered so much. We like you to add layers to the onion, not peel layers to the onion. So if you have a thought about this question, about what to do about midlife malaise, the phone number at Work with Marty Nemco and Barbara Nemco, 415-841-4134. That's 415-841-4134. And before I forget, I was told last week during the membership drive, pledge drive, fund drive, whatever, that the listeners to my show were unusually generous. And I want to yet again thank you for your loyal listenership. It'll be 26 years I will have been on the air this next, in 2 weeks. And after all these years, there are still people who choose to support Work with Marty Nemco. You have no idea what that means. I don't get a penny of it, but you have no idea what that means to me psychologically, and I want to thank you very much before you went any further.
I second that.
Okay. No calls are coming in right now. So we have two choices, Barb. Do you want to add any more to this topic, or do you want me to move to something else?
No, I would love to hear from somebody who has either done that or knows somebody who has done that.
That's good.
Wish they would call in and share with us.
Okay, so that's great, Barbara. So, dear listener, she's right. So if you know somebody, if you or someone you know has either chucked it all in midlife or has thought about it and decided not to and wants to explain why, that's an excellent reason to call. As well as, always, we like to do what are called workovers on the show. So if you or someone you love has a work problem that you would like to get Barbara and my opinion on and maybe give you a step forward, we invite you to call for that. I call them workovers. The phone number, 415-841-4134. That's 415-841-4134. Okay, while we're waiting for calls, I guess what I want to do is I wrote, I put together, I'll say it this way. I think that career counselors and motivational and self-help and all those kind of people end up being, a little bit too Pollyannish. And if one counted the percentage of the comments and the advice given that is positive, is upbeat, it is way overweighted by the upbeat and positive and optimistic. And while I just a moment ago talked about the value, all things being equal, to view a glass as half full than half empty, I think that there is great value in presenting the no-nonsense, unvarnished, straight talk. And so I've made a list of straight talk related to career, and I'd like you, Barbara, for each of these to either agree, disagree, or amplify. But now, of course, now there are calls on the line. So that's kind of a tease for what we're going to do after the calls kind of run out. But let's go to the phones first and foremost. Welcome to Work with Marty Nemko and Barbara Nemko. What's on your mind?
Thank you, Anthony. Great show listening, and wanted to share my thoughts on my position.
Excellent.
I have not chalked it all, but would like to. Okay. I'm 41. Mm-hmm. I live in New York.
Uh-huh.
And I'm 20 years into a career, combination of engineering, supply chain management, cost management.
Right.
And it's not my passion. It's not doesn't accentuate my natural abilities.
Okay.
But I'm married with a 6-year-old.
Exactly.
There's a huge amount of fear.
Right.
In attempting to switch careers.
Great. So let me give you multiple choice. Which of these feels like the best starting place for our conversation? Number one is to find some niche, some way to tweak, to do a pivot, a 15 or 30 degree pivot in your job that would better, quote, use the term natural abilities. Two would be to go to a different employer that might be edgier, interesting, or better. Or three, suck it up and just stay with it because that's your best option. Or four, explore something that would build on your natural abilities. Which feels like a better place to start our conversation?
Four is where I want to be.
Great. So tell me about your natural abilities.
I think my natural ability is with children.
Great.
Coaching.
Wonderful.
Coaching, mentoring.
Great. So we're going to play a game now, and the game is called the optometry game. You ever been to the eye doctor and you're getting fitted for contact lenses or glasses?
Sure, yes.
And they ask you, is it better with lens one or lens two, and then after a while you can't tell the difference and you feel you're stupid?
Yep.
Okay. So we're going to do that with careers related to children, with kids, mentoring, teen, all that stuff. So would you rather be a tutor or would you rather be a big brother?
Big brother.
Would you rather be a big brother or rather be a counselor at a high school?
Counselor at a high school.
Counselor at a high school or a psychotherapist specializing in kids?
Counselor.
Counselor at a high school or a college counselor helping kids pick a college that fits their personality, strengths, and weaknesses?
College, I think.
College counselor or college admissions officer, somebody who works, represents a college you believe in?
College counselor.
College counselor or career counselor?
College counselor.
College counselor specializing in would-be engineers or college counselor more broadly?
More broadly.
College counselor in New York or in a different geographic location?
New York.
In New York, private practice or at a public high school or private high school?
Public.
At a public high school. Now we're going to create a different game. This game is we're going to create an Anthony meter. And the Anthony meter goes from 0 to 10, with 0 means the idea makes you puke and 10 means it gives you an orgasm, okay?
Okay.
Right. The idea of being a guidance counselor, a college counselor in a public high school near where you live scores what?
10.
So we've got to a 10 in about 3 minutes. So now let's weigh the realities. If we said we need to control, I'm going to make a proposal for what you need to do, and you're going to tell me what you like and don't. And you're going to rate that on the Anthony meter.
Okay.
You are going to not quit your job, but you are going to Google when we get off this phone. You're going to Google college counselor, college advisor, terms like that, and see what comes up. You're also going to go to Indeed.com, which lists 5 million jobs, and you're going to Google college counselor to see some job descriptions. So you're going to do some Googling, you're going to look at job descriptions, you're going to look at YouTube videos about college counseling. And if that still turns you on, you're going to go to Amazon.com, and you're going to search for a book on college counseling. And, you know, fortunately, Amazon lets you look through the book feature, And you're going to look through the few books that look like they might feel good, and you're going to pick the one that most resonates with you. Ideally, it might be one that tells many different college counselors' experience of what it's like. And then if that still turns you on, and this is all, you know, you can do it a half hour a week. I'm not asking you to quit your job. I'm not asking you to spend a lot of time on this. You're then going, if it still turns you on, you're going to go to the nearest public high school that Anthony feels would be a good fit for him, personality-wise, values-wise, whatever. It could be middle class, could be inner city, whatever. And you're going to make an appointment to talk with the college counselor there. And you're going to tell your truth. You say, I'm an engineer. I'm scared. I'm filled with fear about changing. But I'm feeling a little empty working in supply chain and engineering and whatever. I'm contemplating making a move into college counseling. Am I delusional? And getting input. And then you do nothing. Then you take a week or a month and you either just think about it, journal about it, talk with your wife about it, talk with your kids about it, and then make the decision. What does that plan score on the Anthony meter?
7.
Good. What keeps it from being a 10?
It's, let's see, concerns with salary reduction.
Okay, so let's, I'm
going to... Go ahead. Going, requiring additional education.
Of course you would. It would take years. So let's...
Degree, yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
So what if I said that given those concerns, just your tone of voice sounds like those are profound concerns. Those aren't minor concerns that I don't think can be mitigated. And I'm reading between the lines that you're just not going to have the guts to make that change because you're going to have to go to school for a few years. So what if I said the best compromise, dude, is to volunteer to do some college. There are many schools nearby who could use some extra help in college counseling. You could do some of it by just a little bit of self-study on the side. You're not going to be able to credential. It's not going to be your career. But if that's something, either do it just for your kids, do it at your kid's school, do something to become more expert in that. And then in your current job, make a little tweak. Do something to make your current job more interesting. That is, for example, maybe you're going to have an intern. You know, there's no field that's in more demand than engineering, supply chain, all the rest of that stuff. Get an intern. And therefore, you're doing that mentoring, the very thing you want. It's not radical, but it enables you to, you know, I know you've got the albatross, the yoke of being a, you know, a responsible person who's got the kid and the wife and the six-year-old and the rest of it. But at least you seem too risk averse to chuck it. So at least you're making those tweaks that would enable you to have as much as you can given the realities of your life. What's that score in the meter?
9.
Okay, what keeps it from being a 10?
No. I usually don't give out 10s, I guess. No, it's a 10, I guess.
Okay, before I let you off the phone or let Barbara weigh in, is there one other, let's pretend, of course it's not true, but let's pretend I knew everything there was to know in the world about how to make this plan successful. Is there any one question, follow-up question you'd like to ask me?
No.
Okay, Barbara, do you have anything to add, please?
I think kids are so in need of advice about careers and what they want to do.
He's talking about college, not careers.
Well, but college, and usually there's some career thought at the end of college, that I think there would be a tremendous demand for you to not only provide mentorship, but even to talk about, to have, you know, they have classes, guidance classes and things, or counselors bring in groups of students that they want to talk to. I think there's also something, there's a website called NEPRIS, where teachers seek the guidance of someone who has worked in business for a long time, and they can kind of live Skype with classes. That would be something that would be fun for you to do.
It does sound good.
Great. Anthony, honest, no BS. The only thing I ask of my callers is honesty. When you get off the phone, what are you really going to be feeling?
Somewhat inspired. I'm going to do some research. I'm going to contact my old high school.
Great.
I've already had 3 co-ops under me. Position.
Those are co-op students. Those are students who are working while they're in school. They're working. Continue.
Correct. Yep. Co-op students. It was a great experience. I'd like to request that we get more.
Great.
So that I can feel more fulfilled.
Great.
Love it.
I'll ask you one more thing. You know, this feels almost like a first date. And you know, when you had a good first date, you hate when the person doesn't call back. Would you, a month or two, when you gain some more clarity or so, you know, like a month, 2 months, 3 months from now, would you call back and give us the honest answer of what you did, how it worked out, whether you're happier, et cetera?
I will.
I'd like that.
It'll force me to do something.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, so you're in New York, and here I am. So you must be obviously listening on your computer.
Correct.
How did you even learn about work with Marty Nemco?
By chance. I like NPR, and I'm at work now, actually.
Oh, wow, Sunday.
I threw that on, threw NPR on San Francisco, your channel, as background noise. And this topic caused me to stop working.
I love it. Well, dude, you know, your name is Anthony. I'm assuming maybe you're Italian. Are you Italian?
Yes.
Okay, so I'm from New York. I love pizza bite a slice in New York is the greatest thing in the world. As far as I think, if I were dying, before I died, I'd probably get a piece of regular Sicilian with extra cheese and sausage on the top. So would you get one of those for me, please, and send it across 3,000 miles?
You got it.
Or just enjoy it and think about us.
Exactly. All right, Anthony, thanks a lot for the call.
All right, take care.
Bye bye. Anyway, that was kind of fun, huh?
Yeah, absolutely.
Fun, but also, you know, he is the prototypical person, and I really think there are millions of people like that. Let's go back to phones. Now we have callers on the line. Let's go back to phones and see what our next caller has to say. Welcome to Work with Marty Nemco, Barbara Nemco. What's on your mind?
Hello.
Hi. I hear you well.
My name is Arik. I'm from Israel. I'm very inspired from the show. I'm happy to talk to you.
You were very inspired by what? I didn't quite hear that.
I'm inspired by your show.
Thank you.
By your show.
Thank you. So what's on your mind?
Okay.
Go ahead.
Okay. I know two people that did this step, and I did this step a couple of years ago. About the people I know, he was working in a tuning pianos. You know, the musical
piano tuner.
Instrument.
He quit being a piano tuner, or he quit to become a piano tuner?
No, he quit to work in piano tuning.
Okay.
And he tried other things, but he got new perspective on life, and he found that he would like to return to his old job, and he was more satisfied.
Yeah. But am I correct? Generally, people who do that are glad they tried. They feel better about not having accepted it, their existence without having tried for something else.
Yes, if you have this on your mind that you're not happy on your job, I think you got to do the step, because after you get it off your mind, you will be more happy and you will be more enjoying your job, doing it better, and you got more perspective. Maybe you understand what in your job you don't like, or maybe you go to move to you know, go after go back after a half a year or a year, and you find how to enjoy more a job, or go move to other position. You know, like if you're an engineer, you go out to train engineers. Something like that.
Anyway, I want to thank you for the call, because now all our lines are lighted up. Thanks very much for the call. Barbara, did you want to add anything, or should we go back to the phones?
Nope.
Okay.
Good advice.
Great. Yep. Back to the phones. Welcome to Work with Marty Nemco and Barbara Nemco. What's on your mind?
Yes. Hello.
Hi.
I'm a long-term...
No.
And sometimes we arrive at different conclusions,
sure.
But I gather we share something, which I think is that we tend to learn by empiricism.
Yes.
And I have just a sense that you've probably learned as much from your clients, in a certain sense, by their experiences, and it's helped you in giving very good advice.
1,000%, much more than in my graduate training. You said it beautifully. I have learned so much more from empiricism than from abstraction from books and experts. Yes.
So in that connection, and you haven't mentioned it yet, I was a little surprised. Could you cite a couple of examples where someone decided to make a change, and then it just worked out wonderfully for them, and perhaps someone who decided to make a change, and it didn't work out well for them? Some sort of concrete example.
Yeah, the best example that I can think of is way back when I was not a client. Back when I was in graduate school at Berkeley, one of the best of the students, her name was Janet, She was in a PhD program with me in educational psychology, school psychology, and in the end she decided to dump it and become a nurse. And she ended up being much happier. She, you know, she could have been just fine. It was not an inability on her part. She was terrific. But she ended up deciding she was better off as a right-arm person doing something more concrete where there was something you could cure or not cure than the very ambiguous world of special education, which is what's educational psychology was about.
If I can interrupt, I recall she became a nurse midwife.
Ah, that's right. Yes, I don't remember that. You're exactly right.
And one could see how that would be very fulfilling.
Caller, yes?
Was that someone, though, who was already in a career and then had to make
yes.
the adjustments that you described with family? I'm interested in that kind of thing. Someone who
Great
really,
question. Yeah.
You know, the family had to go through difficulties or whatever.
Yeah, she was married to a lawyer, a very successful lawyer, who made it easy for her to make the transition. It's a good point.
But she did, remember, she had just spent a lot of money getting a degree in school psychology.
Yeah, she finished it. She had already got her PhD.
But for somebody, have there been any examples where someone really had to make the lifestyle adjustments that you described, sitting down with family?
Good question.
It's going to be tough for a while, but this is really important. Have you encountered any real-life experiences with that kind of thing?
That's a good question. Nothing is jumping. It's scary. Nothing is jumping to mind, but I want to take another moment. Somebody who in midlife felt the job was humdrum and chose to make the radical change in the middle and was happier as a result. I got to tell you, dear caller, no name comes to mind.
Well, that may be significant.
Yes. I don't disagree with you. I agree with you. Barbara, help me out here. Do you know somebody who in midlife had the trappings and the responsibilities of midlife, of your family and all the rest of it, had a middle career making $80,000 a year, whatever, and decided to screw it, to chuck it, and do something completely different?
No, I cannot think of anybody. I can think of all kinds of different additions that people
right,
have
tweaks.
Added to their life. But I can't think of anybody who just gave
hey,
it all.
Hey, you know what I'm going to do then? Dear caller, yeah. I'm going to now invite all the listeners. Well, there are thousands of people listening to the show right now. I am going to invite them. If you know any, if you yourself were listening, or know anybody who is truly, my excellent caller said, in midlife, with middle class responsibilities, chucked it to do something radically different and then was happier or even not happier as a result, I invite you to call. Caller, you keep calling, would you?
Thank you so much. I look forward to what the people will say.
Me too.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay. All lines are lighted up. Let's go back to the phones. Welcome to Work with Marty Nemko and Barbara Nemko. What is on your mind? And if, ideally, you will have been somebody who made a radical career change and was happier for it. We'd like it. It only feels good to feel like there's, you know, a much better option that could be out there. So welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Oh, great show. Listen, I'm 75, so I love my job. I'm still working. I have no time to think of retirement.
Uh-huh.
And I'm originally from New York.
Yeah, again, we've got four New Yorkers. We've had, not this last caller. This last caller, I think, if I remember, he's from Tiburon or something. He's not a New Yorker. But Barbara and I are both from New York. Anthony, the caller before us, from New York. And you're New. What is this? Is this show getting, like, appropriated out from the Bay Area and going to New York? I don't know what's going on here.
Well, this is a New York pizza tip. You don't have to go back to New York. I'm in San Leandro. There's a great pizza place here with a New York combo. It tastes just like New York.
I love what's
Ooh, what's the place?
Bluebird Pizza. Bluebird Pizza, 496 East 14th Street in San Leandro. Go in there. They're closed on Monday, any other time. Great pizza, great New York pizza.
The name cut out. I need to hear it again. What's the name of it again?
Bluebird Pizza, like Bluebird.
Bluebird Pizza. Okay, it's not a very New York name. You know, I liked it. There was a pizza place called A Slice of New York, which I liked that name.
Right.
And then the symbol was the Statue of Liberty, and instead of holding the Torch of Freedom, was holding a slice of pizza. I kind of liked
right.
that. Anyway, okay.
It was an old bar. They called it Bluebird Bar. Now it's a pizzeria, but it's terrific.
Good.
Recommend it.
Was that the only reason you were calling?
That's the reason I'm calling.
Oh, that's
I'm
funny.
I'm happy with the pizza, too. As well, I'm happy with my job. I'm still working, so I love it.
Great.
I'm at the public health department. It's a challenge, and I love challenges. but the pizza is delicious.
You know,
I love it.
We need a little, pardon the pun, leavening of the discussion, because it's so serious to talk about changing careers and risk reward, and to have something that is pure fun, except for the calories, is a pleasure.
Right.
Thank you very much, Mr. Bluebird.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right, let's go back to the phones. Hopefully this is not a pizza call. Welcome to Work with Marty Nemco.
I don't know. I think hopefully it is. That's a good one.
You don't eat any pizza. That's why you weigh 112 pounds. I hate you. Welcome to Work with Marty Nemco and Barbara Nemco. It's your turn on the air. Hi, it's you.
Yeah, hi, Marty. I'm sorry. Am I on?
Yeah.
Okay, wonderful. I'm not sure if you remember me, but I called you 2 weeks ago. I'm the guy who lived in D.C. I was wondering about the future of my life and switching everything up.
Right, of course.
Well, I love this topic today because it's exactly what I was speaking of, and you were looking for an example, and I'm here to give you one. I'm actually in San Francisco now. I've kind of given everything up.
Let's let our listeners know. This is a guy who has a middle job, had a middle job managing a medical practice in D.C., and he was really thinking of chucking it all. And when I asked him what he really liked, he loved his favorite job was his working at a restaurant down on Fisherman's Wharf in San Francisco. And he says, thing I can't do is go. I'd love to go to San Francisco, but the cost of living is too high. But you got your ass out here. Is that right?
That's right, and I'm actually calling you from Fisherman's Wharf now. I'm looking over the bay. And
oh my God!
Out at Alcatraz.
Oh my God! So, what is the message you want to tell us?
Just being afraid of the unknown. It's the biggest hurdle. You know, knowing that it's going to be okay, and if it doesn't work out, you'll figure it out. You know,
what gives you the confidence? I mean, the reality is, what gives you that confidence? You had this job that sounded like it was paying an upper middle class living. You were managing a large medical practice, if I recall.
Right.
And now you've quit, and now you've got you're going to be away. What gives you the confidence that things will work out?
I think I kind of knew the answer the whole time, but hearing it from you just really confirmed pretty much everything I was speaking of and I was thinking of, and I had been toying with the idea for so long, and I just figured, you know what, this is it. I got to do it. If I'm not going to do it now, I'm probably never going to.
I love it. Well, then would you also do me the favor in calling back in a couple of months after this is, you know, you've either settled in or changed your mind or whatever, and keep us updated. Would you do that?
Most definitely, I will.
Love the call. Thanks very much for the call. All our lines are lighted up, so let's go back to the phones. Welcome to Work with Marty Nemco and Barbara Nemco. What's on your mind?
Yeah, well, an answer to the question is the photographer Sebastião Salgado from Brazil, amazing documentary photographer who was an economist for the World Bank or the IMF in London, and his wife encouraged him to drop it and pursue photography. And his son, a small child at the time, supported that, understood that his father would be gone for months at a time, but was down with it. And now just right now, an amazing documentary, The Salt of the Earth, which is also a book by Salgado. He documented so many migrations and everything in the last 50 years. So Sebastião Salgado, amazing turnaround.
Great. Got it. Well, famous people, because by definition, famous people are rare and they bubble up to the top. If you had a son or a daughter, let's say you were 50 and you had a 25, or let's say you were 60 and you had a 30-year-old son or daughter who had a middle-of-the-road career, and he or she is inspired by this person who was an economist who then quit to become a photographer, would you encourage it?
Well, you know, that would depend on more particulars. I mean, yeah, I would hope so. I can only say I would hope. I'd say, yeah, babe, you know, you're good. I mean, I suppose if I didn't like her art, I would hopefully say that too.
Okay, I want to thank you for the call. Barbara Nemco, what would you do if Amy, our daughter, she's very happy in her amazing career. She's assistant U.S. attorney at the Department of Justice in Washington, D.C. But if Amy were 30 and had a more middle job, she was a middle manager in a widget company or a nonprofit that she wasn't sure was using the money that well, but maybe doing it okay. And she says, Mommy, I'd like to become a photographer. What would you say?
I think I would do everything I could to try to help her. But the first thing, of course, I would say is let me introduce you to my friends who are photographers. At least know what you're getting into.
When you say you do everything you could to help her, tell me what you mean.
I would help her financially. If I thought she was unhappy and this would make her happy, I would assist.
Interesting. What would I do? I'd be an incrementalist. I would say, please, baby, don't quit. I need you to show me. You need to see on people who make successful changes into the arts are obsessive about it. And so if you're really serious, I want to see you develop a portfolio of work on the side as a hobby. And when you've got 50 or 100 pieces you feel good about that you've put on your website, let's market those to the world as a sideline. If the world is giving you signals that there would be at least, I don't want you to be homeless and I don't want to have to support you. If the world is giving you at least reasonable signs that with continued effort you will be self-sustaining, then I might give her some money to as a bridge. But I would need much more commitment before I would do that. What do you think?
Well, obviously, I would not tell her quit work right away. I would tell her to talk to people who are photographers. I would see what talent, if she has any talent, for doing that.
Yeah.
But if that was something that she wanted to do and the only thing standing in her way was that she's now in her 40s and she was concerned that she might be having a dip in income, if I could, I would help her. Okay.
You know, I had one of the many flaws I have, including being in a radio host, is I say we're going to do something, we end up not doing it. I talked about the fact that I had made a list of all of the kind of negative straight talk, unvarnished talk about careers that I thought were important to share as a balance to the general nature of the tendency of career counselors and other advice givers to err on the side of positivism. We're not going to have time to do that, so that we'll do that next show. We have time for one more call briefly, so let's do that. Welcome to Work with Marty Nemko and Barbara Nemko. It's your turn on the air. What is on your mind?
Hello, Marty and Barbara. I was a editor for 25 years up until 2008 when I got laid off, so I didn't make a change willingly, but during that period, like the last 10 years of my editing job, I was volunteering at San Francisco Animal Care and Control, walking dogs, and I decided to give that a try as a profession.
Right.
And it has worked out beautifully. I'm making almost as much as I did as an editor. I love animals. I also pet sit cats and other animals.
Great.
And it was a complete change. Nothing in my previous life had prepared me for it, and I'm extremely happy in the choice I made.
I'm so happy. Now, there are many, many dog walkers, so I wondered if you could leave our listeners with a little bit of advice as to how you ended up being one of the successful ones.
I knew some dog walkers, and they gave me referrals for jobs they couldn't do.
Mm.
And also, I put an ad on Craigslist. I put up a website, and after the first couple of years, it's all been repeat business and word of mouth.
Love it. I want to thank you so much. What a wonderful way to capstone the show. We actually have a real-life person who made a radical career change. You are an honored member of the Work with Marty Nemko and Barbara Nemko workforce. Thank you. Barbara, we have only about 15 or 30. Is there a one-liner you want to leave our listeners with? I'd love you to get the last word.
Only that it's really good to be happy in your work. Changes your life.
And that is Work with Marty Nemko and Barbara Nemko for this week. My thanks to my board operator, Joanne Marr. And, of course, I for what it's worth, do you want me to say it on the air? No. Okay. I appreciate her loyalty. She's great. She's completely reliable, and no matter what goes on. Thank you. And, of course, to all of you for listening and calling in. Please join me again next Sunday at 11. I will do workovers on callers, and I'll talk with Robert Lerman on apprenticeships, an under-the-radar and underrated pipeline to a career. Until next Sunday, this is Marty Nemko for Barbara Nemko, reminding you that we find comfort among those who agree with us, growth among those who don't.